It's pretty wonderful that we could all gather together here on this wonderful Resurrection Sunday, this Easter Sunday, and how we can celebrate the glorious resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and how much that is so important in our lives, in our future, in our hope. Please turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. It just wouldn't be right unless we read these words on this morning. Matthew chapter 28. And we'll pick it up in verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn, toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers, the guards, did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. He is risen. He is risen as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there you shall see him. Lo, I have told you. He is not here. He is not in the grave. He is risen. Think about that. Wasn't that nice of God to have an earthquake and the angel of the Lord to come to roll the stone out so he could get out? No. He was already what? Risen. He was already risen. But they were there to see it. They were there to see that that tomb was empty. That he wasn't taken out. Some people say, scholars and archaeologists and things, they say that that stone was like a coin-shaped stone that probably weighed about 2,000 pounds. And it was in a track that was downhill. So when they would release that, that would roll down that track covering the opening. And you can imagine how hard that would be to roll that away. And it's on this day that we celebrate that Jesus Christ not only was raised from the dead, because there were other people in the Word that were raised from the dead to live, but Jesus Christ was resurrected, raised from the dead in a glorified, resurrected body. And it's because of the resurrection that we can be saved. It's because of the resurrection, well, listen carefully, that our sins are forgiven. And I'll get to that a little later. It's because of the resurrection that we can be called children of God. It's because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ that we know that Jesus Christ was declared beyond any doubt or anything, any authority, that he is the Son of God. And it's that upon which we believe that allows us to be born again of God's Spirit. How important is the resurrection? I had one person say, yeah, but the cross is more important. It's like, it's all important. It's all important. If Jesus Christ died on the cross and was never resurrected from the dead, we would all be in our sins. And we would not have eternal life. And mankind would be doomed. So yeah, it's all important. The resurrection is the singular big topic in the book of Acts. The first century church, what were they proclaiming? What were they teaching? What were they testifying about? It was the resurrection. Over 20 times in the book of Acts, you see the resurrection being testified about, being taught, rejoiced about. You see the big sermons in the book of Acts, on the day of Pentecost with Peter standing up. He taught about the resurrection. When you see the Apostle Paul on his journeys, those missionary journeys, they call them, what was he teaching? He was teaching about the resurrection, because without the resurrection, Christianity falls apart. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the crucial point in history. Yes, it's very important that Jesus Christ died for our sins, and all the sins of mankind, of the world, were laid upon him, and he suffered gladly because the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He despised the shame of the cross. But it was the resurrection that was the promise that God gave to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ went into the crucifixion fully assured that God would raise him from the dead. It didn't make it any easier, I'm sure, as far as the pain. But think about that. Jesus Christ went into the crucifixion knowing that God was going to raise him from the dead. By scripture of the Old Testament, by the word that God spoke to Jesus, by the word that he knew that on the third day he would be raised from the dead, accomplishing our redemption. If Jesus Christ had not gotten up from the dead, the cross would not be verified. The sacrifice wouldn't have been accepted. It was a proof that the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for all the sins of all mankind was the resurrection, his resurrection from the dead. So we celebrate. Yep, he is risen. And it's so huge. And it's such a triumphant victory cry for all of us. Because that resurrection is that moment that the devil was defeated. That moment when death was conquered, that moment when God fulfilled his word to his son and to all who believe upon him. If you take your Bibles, please, and go to 1 Peter, towards the back of the book, 1 Peter chapter 1. This verse I just hold dear. It almost makes me cry every time I think about it. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy," that tender compassion, recognizing the suffering and doing something about it, "that abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively," or a living, "hope." How? "By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." We have a living hope. His name is Jesus. He is our living hope. And we have been born again unto a living hope. When do we have a living hope? Right now. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When God raised him from the dead, that sealed it. Our hope is living. Jesus Christ is living. He is not here, like we read this morning. He is not here. He is not in the grave. What's different about him? Because he was raised from the dead, he lives. And because he lives, we shall live. Do men and women in this day and time pass away? You know, you felt the pain, the sting, But do you know what? Jesus Christ has promised us. God has promised us that we have a living hope and we're born again unto that living hope. Eternal life is our hope. Eternal life is what has been promised. And we have that because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because he is risen, we shall rise. It's an absolute. It's an absolute. And then God even gave us Holy Spirit as a pledge, as a guarantee that all the promises, all those future promises in Christ are yea and amen, that we know it. That we know that we know that we know that we know it. Now, please take your Bibles and go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. As we look at this chapter 15, Paul is addressing the resurrection. Paul is addressing the living hope. He's addressing it because the resurrection had come under question by some. In verse 1, it says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you," remember he's talking about what he preached to them, "for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins," how? What does it say? "According to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day," how? "According to the scriptures. And that he was seen of Cephas," or Peter, "then of the 12. And after that he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present day. But some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me as one born out of due time." How Paul saw him on the road to Damascus as a bright shining light. "Saul, Saul, why persecutest me?" when he was persecuting the church. Verse 9, "For I am the least of the apostles, and I'm not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some of you that there is no resurrection from the dead? But if there be no resurrection from the dead, then is Christ not risen? How this life is it. There's no resurrection from the dead." That's what some people were saying. And Paul's saying, look, if you don't believe that we're going to be risen, raised from the dead, then Christ isn't risen. Use that logic. Verse 14, "And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up." If you think he didn't raise him, "if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised? And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, and you are yet in your sins." How important is it that we believe and are assured in our hearts that God raised up Jesus from the dead? the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Huge. And it's the resurrection of Jesus Christ that they taught. They preached that Jesus Christ died for our sins and that he was buried. 3 days, three nights in the heart of the earth. We're going to look at that. But it's according to the scriptures. It's according to the scriptures. What scriptures did they have back then? It was the Old Testament. The Old Testament scriptures. A few of these epistles were written. But the scriptures. It was written in the scriptures that the Messiah, the Christ, would be raised from the dead. That he wouldn't see corruption. And we'll continue on here. Verse 19. If in this life we have hope only, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept or them that have died. The first fruits. In the Old Testament, the first fruits was huge. They would offer the first fruits of the harvest to God. And as the first fruits went, the whole harvest went. If it was a great banner first fruit, guess what the harvest was? A great banner harvest. Jesus Christ is our banner harvest. He's our banner first fruits. And he's the first fruits of them that have slept or died. The first fruits. Verse 21. For since man came death, Adam came death, came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits, and afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. When's the rest of the harvest? At his coming. Christ the first fruits. He's been offered. Christ the first fruits. We see what the harvest is going to be like. And the rest of the harvest will be at his coming. Where we'll be raised. Where this corruption will put on incorruption. Or this mortal will put on immortality. And this corruption, those who have died, will put on incorruption. At the coming of Jesus Christ. And that's why we have a living hope. Because our living hope is Jesus. Our living hope is Christ Jesus. A living hope. We're born again unto that living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's how important this is. As we believe that someone died 2,000 years ago and that God raised them from the dead, are there any idiots in this room that believe such stuff? Please raise your hand. Yes. We believe that. And because we believe that, because we have trusted in that, that Jesus Christ died for our sins and that God raised him from the dead, we are saved unto eternal life. And our hope is living because our hope is on Jesus Christ and he is not here in the grave. Remember the angel? He's not here because he has risen. He is risen. We have a living hope. Please turn your Bibles to Acts 2. Acts 2, the first sermon of the Christian church. Acts 2. The Apostle Peter delivering the first sermon of the Christian church. And what is the topic? The resurrection. The resurrection. Acts 2. And we'll start in verse 22. Acts 2, verse 22. You men of Israel, hear these words. Pretty bossy, isn't he? Pretty bold, you betcha. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. Be honest. Verse 23. him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Not the end of the story. Verse 24. Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Holden by what? Death. That word loosed, for God hath loosed the pains of death. That's that same word we looked at a few weeks ago when it's talking about the law and how some versions say that they relax the law. And we know the truth of what that Greek word meant. It meant it loosened it, unbound it. This is what this means. God unbound the pains of death. He unbound the hold of death upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He unbound it. It no longer had a binding force under the Lord Jesus Christ, because God loosed the pains of death and he raised him from the dead. And I want you to look at verse 25, the very first word. And it says for, F-O-R. And it's the Greek word gar. G-A-R would be transliterated over to the English alphabet. Gar. And it's vitally important. Gar means assigning a reason for something. The argument for something. Gar. Because of something. And it says there in verse 24, for it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For the reason being, the argument for, David speaketh concerning him. Why? Why could death not hold the Lord Jesus Christ? This example is being given. The reason being, the argument given, for David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. Why? Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, in the grave, and neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One. Thine Holy One would be Jesus, the Messiah. Thou would not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known unto me the ways of life, and thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David. He is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is right over there to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. You know what the promise to David was? Forever his offspring would sit on the throne. Forever is a really long time. If Christ is going to sit on his throne forever, what happened to Jesus Christ after he was crucified? Raised from the dead. Verse 31. He seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, and neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus, he's speaking, right? You men of Israel, listen to these words. This Jesus, whom God hath raised up, whereof we are all witnesses, we've seen him. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he shed forth this which you now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. Why couldn't death hold him? Because the scriptures said so. The prophecy about the Lord Jesus Christ said so. And you know what it says in God's word? Jesus Christ even spoke these words. He says, the scripture cannot be broken, unbound. Just like the pains of death were loosed, the scripture can't be loosed. It's binding. And what God says, God means, and God will perform. Since the scripture said that he was going to raise his son up, Jesus Christ, from the dead, death couldn't keep him because God said so. And the scripture cannot be broken. You know, I think about this and what a joy it must have been for them to know this and to see this. And it says if we continue on in that, we're not. But if you continue on, that they were pricked in the heart when they heard that because they knew it was true. Men and brethren, what do we do? What do we do? You believe in this. You believe and you trust in him. That was the rest of the sermon that day. But when you look at how the scripture can't be broken and the promise to Jesus Christ, God promised him, he promised him, I'm going to raise you from the dead. You be obedient unto me, even unto the death of the cross. I promise you, I will raise you from the dead. And God promised David that he would raise him from the dead. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, from the dead. God promised Abraham that Jesus Christ would be raised from the dead. That he would reign, that he would be the Messiah from his loins. The covenant unto Abraham, the covenant unto David. In the Old Testament, in the book of Psalms, it says that he was made the high priest, a priest after the order of Melchizedek. For how long? Forever. And forever means if he died on the cross and was crucified on the cross, then he was raised up from the dead. The whole Bible would fall apart if he didn't get up from the dead. So on this day, as we celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ's resurrection, it's a big deal. And we can be really rest assured in our hearts that, you know what? He's our hope. And he's living. And we're born again unto that hope. So when we hope, expect, that's what hope means. We truly expect that Christ is coming back and we shall all be changed and we shall forever be with him. God means it. And it has to happen because the scripture cannot be broken. So on this day, we celebrate. We celebrate God bringing to pass his word. We celebrate God being faithful to his own son, his boy. He did get him up from the dead, just like he said he would. And if he got Jesus Christ up from the dead, just like he said he would, he's going to send back Jesus Christ, just like he said he would. Amen? Amen.